Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. And today we're going to zero in on gourds. We have the gourd gal with us, Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. She'll talk about the upcoming Gourd Festival, talk about what we need to start growing gourds this season, what you can do with gourds, and take your questions or comments and your experiences. Have you had good experiences with gourds? Bad ones? Call in 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Terry Schmidt, welcome back.
It's so good to be here again.
Oh, it's always so much fun.
It's nice.
We have a great time. And I ask you the same question every single time you're on, is how did you get interested in gourds?
I got interested in gourds when I met my husband, who is the gourd guy. So
yeah.
He sells gourds at the farmer's market. And I met him one day while I was at market. And 18 months later, we were married, and I've been immersed 24/7 in gourds.
And you started the Gourd Society, Wisconsin?
Yes, we did. We started the Wisconsin Gourd Society maybe a couple of months after we were dating. He said, you know, maybe you should start a Gourd Society. And there's this wonderful, wonderful woman who comes by the market every once in a while, good friend now. Her name is Marge Engelman. And she was a longtime gourder and a great fiber artist. And Marge would come by the stand and she would say, "Oh, dear Terry, we need a gourd society." And so in my innocence, I thought, well, I'll start a gourd society. And Marge, of course, would help. But Marge, of course, had no interest in helping. I love you, Marge. I know you're out there. And so I looked into it, and it turns out, because there's a national organization, and so we are under the umbrella of the American Gourd Society. So they had all kinds of tips and techniques for getting started. And bottom line was, you just had to have 25 American Gourd Society members in order to be a sanctioned Gourd Society state society. And Wisconsin didn't have a society, so we had our first little party on the farm, and we had all 25 people plus sign up and agree. And so we set out a constitution and bylaws and the whole thing and elected a board. And before you knew it, there we were, 12 years later.
Yeah, and still
in existence.
Still got at least 25 members.
We still have a lot. We topped out probably a few years back, close to 300.
Okay.
And I think in the last couple of years, it's come down a little bit. I think, you know, maybe 4 years ago, gourds were incredibly popular. Mm-hmm. They were just everywhere. And gourd societies were popping up all over the place. And I think that there's just that saturation factor.
A little bit
eventually.
Overkill.
Yeah, eventually. I understand that the Illinois Society, it was in existence for quite a long time, went belly up last year. So you know, we're trying our darnest to get some of those people over the fence.
So. And I hope you do. Eric in Beloit called in, couldn't hang around, but wondered if gourds are edible.
Gourds are edible. Some gourds are edible. It reminds me of Yul Gibbons, right? Many parts are edible. So when they're small, certain gourds, usually less than 4 inches, snake gourds are very, very common in East Indian cooking. And in China, gourds are often eaten. Even loofah gourds, when they're small, before they become very fibrous, are more like a zucchini. In China, gourds, there's a dish, and I think it's called the royal gourd. I think that's the translation of it. And it is something that's usually saved for very, very special occasions and for royalty. And it's, Yeah,
so a gourd what does it taste like? Does it taste like a squash?
Chicken. No, I'm just kidding. No. It tastes more like a zucchini. It's very, very bland. Yeah.
Okay, so it takes on the...
All in what you do to it.
Takes on the flavors of whatever you...
Exactly.
Okay, there
exactly.
we go.
Yeah, but if you wait too long, then they are very bitter.
So you don't want to do that?
No.
Terry Schmidt, our guest, talking with her about gourds today and the Gourd Society. I want to get into the festival that's coming up, which is called a Gourd Win a Courtin', which has cracked up some of the people around here when when they hear that. The title, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I think it is a lot of fun, too, based on what I've heard about it. You can join in, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And, of course, you are a wonderful artist.
Thank you.
In many ways, and in not only music, in terms of music, as you make musical instruments.
Right, we do. This year, we tried to focus on an instrument called the gopichan. And I don't know if you remember, several years ago, I brought one in.
Yeah.
And you said, play it. And I made one little twang because I didn't really know how to play it. So someday, maybe I'll bring it back and actually play it for you. But we decided this year that we were going to try to focus on something unique like that. So we made our first gopichan. It was really fun because it was a group project with my husband and I doing it. And so, I mean, it took some, you know, there were a lot of things that were just, you know, you can cut and do yeah. that. And that's sort of the guy side of it. And then there's the, you know, the other side, that's the design side where you have yeah. to make sure things are in a certain place. And then yeah. the musical side to get the string in the right place and the right kind of string and stuff. So it was a very fun project. I think we made it. Probably over the course of 2 days, because you have to let there's like a drum head that's on it and stuff. You have to let that dry. But overall, it was a very fun project and worthwhile.
And you didn't once think you were going to strangle the gourd guy.
No. Actually, we were very much looking forward to doing a project together, because there's so much to do on the farm all the time. And well, with him farming and with me teaching music, that, you know, we sort of get up in the morning running and then we say goodnight at the end of the day.
Go your separate ways.
So it was really great. Here it was in the middle of winter and we said, let's make a gopi. And we did it. And it's playable and it's a great little instrument. So.
Oh. Well, tell us about the farm.
The farm. Well, we live in Blue Mounds, out in the country, and this is a family farm that yeah. was my husband's. It used to be a dairy farm, was on his family, and he turned it into a gourd farm. He decided when he acquired it that he didn't want to do dairy, and so he was in the south and saw these gourds and decided he was going to try it. And the first year that he grew them, he had huge gourds. And he says if that first year hadn't turned out so good, he wouldn't be doing them now. But he's still looking for that huge gourd, right? And I think the reason that the gourds were so big was because there was probably a lot of fertilizer in the soil yeah. left over from the previous years.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really use a lot in the, tries to do everything as naturally as he can. So, but over the years now, he's really managed to, he's found the secret, you know. So a lot of people will say in Wisconsin, you cannot grow good gourds because it's a long season vegetable or fruit, whatever you want to call it. And the truth is, you know, so much goes into what you do with the soil and what you do with it in the growing process. So, yeah. So we have I don't know, maybe 75 or 80 acres, but only about 15 tillable. And so he usually does 2 acres maybe a year in gourds, and he rotates that to every 4 years. And so, yeah, he grows probably 20 varieties, 15, 20 varieties. He might really focus on one in a year so that he doesn't have to grow that one again for many years. So, you know, we don't grow, for instance, we don't grow apple gourds every year or Tennessee spinners or luffas. We grow something a lot once, and then we don't have to do it again
for a while.
Right. Yeah. So, but there are certain ones he always grows because, first of all, they sell fast. But he's also just trying to, like, perfect them, you know, yeah. in the way he does them. Yeah.
What are the most popular that do sell them?
Well, apple gourds are very popular, usually right around September for teachers and Christmas for teachers. You know, yeah. kids like to paint them. So apples, Tennessee spinners, which are very, very tiny. It's a teeny weeny gourd. And the smaller you can get them, the better. So they're actually more expensive the smaller they are. If you can get them under 2 inches, that's a pretty good... That's a good one.
You're going to make some money on those.
Well, you know, you're never going to get rich doing gourds. But, yeah, and then the one I gave you. Those are very popular.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
How and what kind is it?
That's called a long-handled dipper. And so that was left. It was left to do its own thing on the ground. And so if you don't trellis them, that's what will happen. But if you do trellis them, that's a regular long handle dipper. So you might get about 4 feet out of it. But the extra long handle dippers, you can get a handle that is maybe seven and a half, maybe even 8 feet long.
It is. Yeah. It is really beautiful. And Brianne took our on-air producer, our producer today, took a photo of it. And Brianne, do we have that up on our Facebook page yet? She'll have 5 minutes, she says. It'll be up in 5 minutes.
So stay with us.
Not like she's not doing anything else at the time. She's answering phones. She's doing a bunch of other stuff. So.
Hurry.
And then there's me. Hurry up and get that up. Well, yeah. It's gorgeous, and we'll have
thanks.
It up on our Facebook page so you can take a look at it. Scott in Marshfield has something. Let's go there. Hi, Scott.
Hey, this may be a basic question, so forgive me.
Oh, that's all right.
In general, with gourds, I just started planting them a couple of years ago. When do you know they're ripe?
When you know they're ripe, that's a great question, because a lot of people will pick their gourds or purchase gourds in the fall, and they're green and they're pretty, and then they rot. So here's the key: you want to make sure that the plant has gone through one hard frost. And so that way, when you pick it, the stem end, you snip that off, and if there's any green in that stem end, you want to leave the rest of the gourds on the vine, because that stem end needs to really turn brown, and then you know that it's done growing. So it'll suck everything it can out of the vine, even though the vines might appear to be gone.
But,
yeah.
So it'll turn bitter if you wait too long, though, correct?
Oh, for eating.
Yeah.
Oh, for eating. Oh, I thought you meant like mature for like, yeah. No, that if you're talking about for eating, then I would say it's based on the size. So you don't want it to be much more than 4 inches long.
So what kind, do you know what type of gourds you raised last year, for example?
No, you know what, my wife had planted them, so I didn't know what kind they were. I just didn't know when to pick them off. And she didn't know either, so we...
Well, it was a good experiment. What the heck? You're a gardener.
Yeah,
you're a gardener.
Go. There you go.
So 4 inches, or if you want to let them go
until hard frost.
And Scott, get online to our Facebook page and take a look at some of the artwork that we have shown on the Facebook page that people have done with gourds. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Thanks.
Go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page. And just to mention, you have this looks like a kind of a court jester.
Right. Yeah. This was one of the entries in the festival last year. And I'm going to apologize because I know the woman's first name was Shannon. And there were two Shannons in the festival competition. Both of them were incredible artists. And so I'm not going to say her last name because I've only got a 50% chance of being right. But she did, both of the Shannons were just incredible artists. And so this one did a lot of sculptures connecting different gourds and gourd parts to create these very whimsical creatures.
Oh,
I think Brianne has
beautiful.
Another picture that she's going to put up that's another incredible, incredible piece. So...
Yeah, this one is up on, if you go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, go to Visitor Posts, which is over on the left side, and click on Visitor Posts, and that photo is going to pop up, and it looks like it was definitely a blue ribbon winner.
It was, yeah, and it was a judge's choice, and there were several of hers, and then the other Shannon actually got Best of Show And you know, yeah. So we had two. Neither one of these women had done anything in gourds before, and you know, they didn't really think they were that good. And
Oh my goodness me!
The one that did this, she put in several entries, and we were all just. I mean, both of them, we were just blown away with their art. It was incredible. Last year was a fantastic year for this stuff. We had also a gourd jewelry artist who was a vendor there, and she made some just gorgeous jewelry with gourds, earrings and pendants and pins and things. And it was very, very, very nice stuff. So I'm looking forward to the competition this year.
Oh, yeah, and we'll talk some more about that. And we'll talk about that. We haven't really talked about it at all yet. We'll get to that with our guest, Terry Schmidt. I'm Larry Mueller. Breanne Chasso, our on-air producer for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up next week on Garden Talk, we're going to learn about getting started with square foot gardening. That's next week for Garden Talk. Right now, visiting with Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, and she's our gourd gal. Every year she comes by to talk with us about gourds and about the Gourd Festival, wonderful festival, a one-day event. It's held in Madison, and we'll talk some more with her about it. You can join in, by the way, question or comment. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, of course, The Larry Mueller Show. And speaking of Facebook, we mentioned earlier that there's a photo, just an absolutely wonderful photo from one of the, what would you call it? One of the
competition entries.
Yeah, competition entries. The artistic. It's a joker.
Like a jester. Yeah,
jester. It is unbelievable. And I was looking at it and go to our visitor posts. Click on that on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show to see it. It's really unbelievable. And I was thinking, okay, probably about a foot tall, but really it's much taller than that.
Yeah, these pieces that both of these women that they do are quite large. The one that Breanne's going to put up is much larger than this one, but this is a couple feet, you know. It's a pretty good-sized piece. And unique, just unique. You know, we're used to, those of us who've been in gourds for a long time, we're used to seeing the typical, you know, leaf carvings and masks and, of course, musical instruments and wood burning and stuff like that. But things are changing in the gourd world. If you look back, like, to gourd art in the 50s. Oh, my gosh. It was like what we would do in second grade. But, I mean, that's all people knew.
Yeah.
And, you know, tools we've improved and products. We have more products now. And, you know, different types of art are starting to meld together, like weavers and gourders are starting to come together to weave with gourds and that kind of thing. So I think a lot of products that are used for maybe regular sculpting now are being used on gourds. There's a clay called epoxy sculpt, and it's one of the few sculpting clays that will actually stick to a gourd. It won't come off, and a lot of people use that. And, you know, so you can connect gourds and use that on the seam and then kind of sand it and hide the seams and stuff. It's
oh,
nice.
Yeah. So that's probably how this may
She may have used something like that, right?
Sculpting clay.
Yeah, it's a sculpting clay. So, so there's just a lot of new stuff happening in the gourd world now with art.
I should mention, let's go over this and we can bring it up again, but April 9th, coming up in a week.
Yep.
Is the 10th annual Wisconsin Gourd Festival. I love the title this year, A Gourd When a Courtin'.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta come up with something. This is how we came up with these names. Was about 4 years ago. We sat down in a little think tank room, and we came up with every adage we could think of, song titles or sayings or you name it, and we probably came up with 150 different ones. And so every year now we just open the file and say, okay, throw the dart, this is what it's going to be this year. So, and the nice thing about it is that we try to have themes that are easy to come up with a logo for, and then we have a logo contest. And so whoever, you know, whoever's logo is the one that we choose, then that person gets a free year's subscription to the Gourd Society. So.
And you've got couple of gourds,
courting. A couple of little gourds in love.
A courting. Yes,
a courting.
And it's a one day. It's definitely family friendly kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. We have a huge kids area. This year, we'll have face painting. We will have little make and take projects so they can make pendants or dolls. And new this year, we're going to have finger puppets. So we can use these little Tennessee spinners. We'll make a hole in the bottom, and then they can make their puppet and wear their Tennessee spinner on their fingers as they go. We also, they plant a gourd seed. They can go home with a little planted gourd seed. Who knows what happens with that if it tips over in the car and that's the end of that. But, you know, they get to do it anyway. And, so there's a lot of stuff for the kids to do.
And we have art classes?
We do. We have tons of classes this year. We have a new teacher this year, and we were just talking about sculpting. So we have a guy from Illinois. His name is Bill Ferguson. And so he's teaching a class on gourd sculpting, and I'm looking for it. He is going to take us through everything that you need to do to prepare your gourd inside and out for carving, painting, staining, cutting, sculpturing, and wood burning, I understand. So he's going to go through the whole gamut of the tools that he uses, and I think they'll come out with a project. I'm sure of it. They'll come out with a finished project. So, he's a new one, and he's done some fantastic work. Nice stuff. Then we have also two new classes, dream catcher classes, so a beginning dream catcher and a more intermediate dream catcher. So the people that take the beginning class, if they want to stay and do the second class in the afternoon, they can improve upon what they're doing. A repeat class held by Donna Geiger, who is now our new president, and it's called Fun with Alcohol Inks, and alcohol inks are a type of color product that we usually use. She did this class last year. It's very, very popular. And then there will be two lectures, free lectures. Our lectures are always free. And so Gary Qualheim, who is a carver, is going to do a lecture. He does this lecture every year. So he's going to do a lecture, and I'm going to finally get a chance to do a lecture.
What are you going to do?
I do a thing usually with the Master Gardeners called Growing Gourds in Wisconsin. And so I will take you from, you know, seed all the way to art. How to prepare your garden, what you do once it's, you know, how to prepare your seed, what to do once it's up, all the way until you harvest it, and safety things about them, and then doing artwork. And so I have various seeds there, and I have artwork there, and I have everything in between.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a fun, it's very fun lecture.
Do you need to sign up for these lectures ahead of time?
The lectures are free, and so it's anybody can come and just come
just
in and
pop
sit in.
And
yep.
Well, and the Olbrich Botanical Gardens, I mean, what a site for...
It's the best setting for this. It really is. So we basically take over the place.
Yeah.
And it always happens on the same weekend as the mulch sale.
Yeah.
So we sometimes will get in some of those mulch people by accident, and they're welcome to be there. We like having them there. But so it's a busy weekend for the Olbrich people, you know. From Friday at noon, we start at noon on Friday because of the competition. And so we do intake for pieces, and then we have judging Friday night. And then starting Saturday morning, everybody comes in, and it's a fight to the finish to get set up in that first 2 hours. and then we're done at 5 o'clock. And really, Olbrich has, it's packed. It's packed usually the whole day.
But it's fun.
Oh, it is very fun.
And if it feels like it's too crowded, you just go on out in the gardens.
You can go out in the gardens, exactly. So they even let us set up our music in the lobby there in the front. So when you walk into Olbrich, you're going to be hit right away with music, which is very nice. I mean, Olbrich is such a relaxing place.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for this one weekend, you know, the minute you walk in, it's sensory overload. And it's just all gourds and art and music. And then if you need the quiet, you can walk out to the gardens.
And wonderful gardens. Well, Jerry, let me give the number again. You can join in 1-800-642-1234. I'd like to hear from some gourd growers or some people who are interested in growing gourds, or maybe you've got some experiences to share. So give a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. If you've got a photo of some, have you done some artwork? I know there are some gourd people out there who do some pretty cool things. If you've got a photo you want to share, I'd post it up on our Facebook page and give a call as well. And our Facebook page title, of course, to get there, the title is The Larry Mueller Show. That's how you get to the page. And you don't have to be a member of Facebook, by the way, to go to the page. So there you go. Jerry on Facebook, as a matter of fact, talking about Facebook, says he will be shopping for small gourds to use in his fairy gardens this year. And he's coming to the festival. And so you can buy gourds, or
absolutely,
you can buy seeds or whatever. Yeah. Talk about that part.
Yeah, so you can buy gourds there. The gourd guy will be there. And then there are a couple other vendors that have gourds in their booths as well. And I just want to say, fairy gardens have become incredibly popular.
What are fairy gardens?
Well, it's just a little house for fairies. You know, we all need fairies in our yard, don't we? they have become very, very popular. So those miniature gourds that I was talking about, those little 2-inch guys, right? The Tennessee spinners are very popular. So I've seen some incredible fairy gardens made out of gourd, the whole thing made out of a gourd, where they'll take a large, like a pear-shaped Martin gourd, and they'll cut it in half and hinge it so that you can open it up. And then they'll actually put like a little garden in there and little benches and little windows. And I mean, it's a little house.
Oh,
they're very, very cute. And I've seen some people that I knew a girl that was in southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, somewhere over there. And she made one out of a very big gourd, and you could only look in through the windows and the doors. You couldn't like reach into it, but it was like a whole family made out of gourds, and even to the point where the pictures on the walls were pictures of the little gourd people. It was really, really cute.
Oh man.
So these fairy gardens they've been popular for, you know, maybe about four or five years now.
So not something that they bring to this competition.
Well, they could.
Oh, they could, yeah.
Certainly they could. There's the competition has lots of different categories. And I think there's a category on, what do you call that, fantasy.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to say something else about the classes, too, that if anybody's interested in seeing what classes are being held, if you go to the Wisconsin Gourd Society website, wisconsingourdsociety.org, and click on the festival link, then there's a list of classes and a form that you can use to sign up for the classes. And so there's still time, or if you think that there's not enough time, you can just fill out the form and call and the numbers on the website and let us know that you're interested in taking it, and we can deal with it.
And we have a link up on our Facebook page as well, so if you just go ahead and click on that. Yeah. And there are photos
of the classes.
Yep. So you kind of get more of an idea. And also, more, don't you have more art?
There's art on the Gourd Society page. Yeah, some of that needs to be we should update that one of these days. Some of that's pretty old art.
Let's talk a little bit about growing gourds, because we obviously, you know a whole lot about that. I mean, what is there anything special in terms of soil or?
Well, you know, gourds are the oldest cultivated plant. And what we do know about them is that, if you do nothing and they're just in a moist place where there's dirt, they will grow. Yeah. If you do nothing and they're in a dry place where there's sand, they will grow. So, you know, you could say they're easy to grow, but they're not easy to grow. I mean, you have to, if you're serious about growing them, you have to make sure that your soil is prepared, that you have healthy soil, you know, if you want your plants to be okay. You have to rotate your crops. The biggest problems with planting is the cucumber beetles and the squash bugs.
Oh.
Now, the cucumber beetles, you can get rid of them sometimes, you know, If you burn your fields, sometimes that'll help. But there's a striped and a spotted cucumber beetle, and one of them actually comes up from the south every year. So you really can never get rid of them. Squash bugs, you'll never get rid of squash bugs. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're there. They're here to stay. We happen to have a lot of squash bugs because we have a lot of gourds, and so they're drawn to them, you know. But, so you have to prepare your soil. You have to make sure you get your seeds in early enough, but not too early, you know, to make sure that you take advantage of the full summer, as short as ours is. Depending on what you're growing, for instance, loofah gourds, you can't put that plant out. You have to start the plant in advance, and you have to transplant it, and you can't put it out until the soil is 70 degrees. Well, sometimes it can be hard to get 70 degrees, right? So you could do something like cover the soil to heat it, you know, and then once the plants are in, keep them covered until it really warms up. And then at the end of the season, because loofahs are a 140-day plant, then we cover them again before frost to just give them that extra time. So it just depends, you know. And then once they start growing, you have to keep them weeded when they're small. When they're big enough to knock out the weeds, then you don't have to worry about it. But as long as you can get in the garden, I mean, Larry's out there all the time, constantly weeding, keeping everything clean. And then the bugs, I mean, we try to do everything as naturally as we can. So once we start to get flowers, we're very cautious, right?
Yeah.
So he may use a spray on bugs early on if we happen to have them too early. But once we get buds or blossoms, we stay away from any chemicals because just on the off chance that a bee might lay in there, you know. Bees are not typically drawn to our flowers because there's no nectar in them, so it's not a natural pollinator.
Are they big flowers typically?
Yeah, it depends on the gourd. So loofahs are a very small, beautiful, delicate yellow flower. But most of the gourd flowers are white, and they might be, I don't know, what is that, couple inches? Inches around to maybe 3 or 4 inches around, depends on the type of gourd. But they're beautiful and they're pungent. The plants are pungent. So on the farm, because we have so many, when you walk over that hill, you can smell. You can smell the gourd plants. It's not pleasant, but you definitely know you're not smelling something normal.
But it's not unpleasant, is it?
It's just pungent. It's a little bit icky, kind of icky.
So you get them going, and, you know, I wondered right when you were talking about getting them started early and everything. I thought, I wonder if they'd work in straw bales. You could do a straw bale garden.
Oh, I'm sure they would. Yeah. But they take up a lot of space, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, as long as you've got it planted here, you just have to make sure you've got all that room out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, there have been sightings of, you know, plants that are, I don't know, 60 feet, 70 feet.
60 feet?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. There's a guy in the South. I don't think he's still around anymore, but he used to plant gourds and just to measure, you know. So,
and then he probably fertilized the heck out of them.
I forget what the longest one was that he ever saw, but it was over 70 feet. Yeah.
But normally,
A good 25 or 30. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So when we plant, usually Larry will plant them in rows, in hills, maybe 3 feet from hill to hill, but then a whole tractor's distance between rows.
Wow.
So that he can keep that, you know, weeded.
Yeah.
And that is completely filled at the end of the year. Completely filled with plants.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The entire hillside. I mean, they will go up in the pine trees and They'll go over the fence into the cornfields.
I wondered if you trellis them at all.
Oh, we do. Yeah, depending on the gourd. So the long-handled dippers, because he likes to get straight ones, but he also manipulates them, so he will tie them into knots, and that's easier to do if it's on a trellis. And then sometimes he'll have a regular bottle gourd, which has a big bulb in the bottom and then a neck and then a bulb in the top. He'll have that trellised, and it stretches the neck. The weight of the gourd stretches the neck, so that's kind of a neat thing. And then loofahs have to be trellised. They can't be on the ground because they'll rot. And then there's another one that he trellises. I'm trying to remember. Oh, snakes. I think snakes. He trellises snakes. So this year, or last year, I think he let most of the long-handled dippers just do their thing because they turn out like this one I gave you.
Yeah.
And those are actually more popular than the straight ones. So, and that's really nothing. I mean, sometimes they'll be wound around two or three times. Yeah.
But this will make a nice, as you were talking about earlier, that make a nice birdhouse.
Yeah, it would. That's the perfect size for a, perfect size for a birdhouse.
And now's the time to, I have to
get
this
busy.
I'll get going with my daughter this weekend and we'll make ourselves a birdhouse and
there
we'll get
go.
It out.
Yep.
Because
it's time. They're looking. There's a lot of homeless birds out there. I know where you can get gourds for them.
Terry Schmidt, our guest, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, talking with her about gourds. I'm surprised we don't have callers right now, but here's a chance for you. Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have about gourds? Do you use them? Successes or failures you've had with them? Questions about them? 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. I'm Larry Mehler. Breanne Sheschel, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio's Garden Talk Show. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk gourds today with Terry Schmidt, the gourd gal, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. The 10th annual festival, Wisconsin Gourd Society's festival, scheduled for April 9th at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. We're talking about that as well with her. And again, join in your own questions or comments at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Ruth in Janesville, we'll turn to you now. Ruth, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I'm wondering if deer tend to eat the plants.
Oh, what about deer?
Yeah, we have a lot of deer in our area, and we don't usually have problems with it. On the rare occasion that a deer might bite into an actual gourd, I think they're pretty much repulsed. They don't do a lot of damage to them. They are very bitter. So you can see on some of our gourds where the gourd will scab over, and you can actually see the teeth marks from where they were bitten. But I think the plants themselves are just a teeny bit sort of itchy, like a squash plant can be. So, you know, but the gourds themselves are very bitter.
Okay, and then the plants, as they're growing, do they tend to stay away, or?
Yeah, we've never had them. Oh, wow. I mean, we'll have them go through the gardens where we have vegetables, but I don't think we've ever really had damage from deer.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that you would want to use those as a fence against other things because, you know, that might not work, but we don't usually see damage from them.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Ruth. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments, and we'll turn to Andrea in Kakana up next. Hi, Andrea. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm on my way up north to make maple syrup with my dad, but I was listening to the program, and I compost everything in my garden and don't really use any pesticides or fertilizers, and I've composted gourds, and I let all of my squash plants die down, pumpkins, and I have eaten several of the, what I would say looks like a gourd, but I wonder if it is, you know, they said earlier, I didn't hear that portion, that there are some edible gourds, but do they actually I guess my question is, what if I'm eating these, are they edible gourds that have cross-pollinated with a squash, or what exactly? I mean, they have fins. They go from yellow to green to orange, and they're amazing looking, if you ask me. But I eat them because I'm fascinated by the fact that these look like gourds, but they're soft. They actually have little, like a fuzzier, like the summer squash that I grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, I mean, if it's got the colors, like the yellows and the greens of like the small little egg gourds or spoon gourds, it's possible that it cross-pollinated, but I think, I mean, I could be wrong, but here's what we usually say, like for gourds themselves, if we grow a gourd, let's say we grow a snake gourd, and we also grow an apple gourd, and they cross-pollinate, the gourds that come off of that snake plant are still going to be snake gourds. And the gourds that come off the apple plant are still going to be apple gourds. And unless you use the seeds from the gourds that came on the plant, you're never going to experience the cross-pollination because the cross-pollination happens, you know, in the seed of the gourd. So it shouldn't affect, I mean, this is our belief, it shouldn't affect a squash. Now, I've had people say our squash is bitter because of the gourds, but
no,
I don't.
These are delicious tasting and do you see the, like, my kids are like, you're making us eat gourds. I'm like, no, but they're tender. And then I saute them and they're.
Yeah.
But they have like the fins of those, and I don't know my gourd name.
Yeah.
The ones that have like those.
The crown of thorns or the angel wing.
Those.
Right.
And those real, but they're tender, and the, like I said, they're fuzzy like the young summer squash.
Yeah.
The yellow crookneck that I grow. So,
right.
But they have these amazing colors and shapes.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is they are also, they're definitely meatier, these things that we've eaten. I also have grown patapans. And then I have some that, you know, that resemble more of a patapan squash, but have, you know, greens and stripes on them. And
right.
And again, we've eaten all of them because
right.
they, and I love the texture. So I just.
Yeah. I'm going to say that it is not a cross pollination with the gourds because we have vegetable gardens also, which are a good distance from the gourds, a very, very good distance from the gourds. And when you said patty pans, that's made me think of it because I've had patty pans where they might start the season looking like a patty pan and end the season like green with little yellow dots on them.
Yeah,
they look like little circus food.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a cross pollination with a gourd.
So it's still just. Straightly, somehow,
right.
I just
it's
let
the
all
seed.
These composted seeds.
Yep.
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 Go back to who knows whatever they originally were.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, as long as they're good to eat, who cares?
Oh my God! I mean, I have pictures. I take pictures of them, and then I slice them, and then I take pictures again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's fun food.
The most amazing. Yeah. And then some of them that are too hard, and I let them get too big. Then I use them as fall decorations.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can't lose.
Andrea, you're a marvel, Andrea.
I love it.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. Well, let's go to Dave in Steuben up next. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you very much. I just want to know, what is your technique of drying gourds out? How do you get them dried down?
Well, you know, gourds will dry naturally. So because we have so many of them, we leave them in the fields. And so the trick to getting a gourd that's useful in the spring after, you know, being drying all winter is that you want something that you can clean the skin off. And so what we found is that if it goes through that natural freeze and thaw that happens throughout winter, that skin breaks down more readily. And so in the spring, once it's dry, then we can just clean it and scrub the skin off and it's more, you know, it's easier. You could also, if you had just a small batch, you could put them in an outbuilding someplace if you wanted to. But our experience has been that when we, you know, when they're not out in the elements, they're a little more difficult to clean. But in terms of just drying, they'll dry no matter where you put them. So they don't have to be up on pallets. They don't have to be off the ground. So, you know, you'll read these things about, oh, they have to be hung by old pantyhose from the ceiling. And, you know, there has to be full aeration and all that. And it really matters not. They will dry, period. They're going to dry. There's another thing, too. If you have really small gourds, this is kind of a fun little project to do. If you have small gourds like banana, it's called a banana gourd. It's about half the size of a banana. You can pick those when they're green in the fall, when they're mature, but they're still green. And just use like a butter knife and scrape the skin off. And then they will just dry in like 3 weeks. They'll dry very, very quickly. You have to be careful that you don't like puncture the gourd, but you're just taking that outer skin off. It's kind of a fun project because then you can actually watch it dry and, you know, have something a little quicker than waiting for spring.
But it's nice to... what's that, Dave?
Yeah, how do you get the... If you make like a birdhouse gourd, what is your technique to get the insides all like out of an apple gourd?
Yeah, so... I don't know if this has happened to you before, like if you like tried to drill a hole in a gourd and then once you get the hole in it, it's like solid, almost styrofoam. So there's a lot of different things. We'll use anything that pokes. So the butt end of a spoon or a skewer or, I mean, anything that can poke it a little bit. If you can get space in the gourd big enough for a bird to get in, then you don't have to worry about it because the birds will take out what they don't want and they'll eat whatever they do want or they'll use it for their nesting material. So it doesn't have to be completely cleaned out.
All right, sure. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Dave.
That's really interesting. And the fact you can just leave them there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in the spring, when you're more enthusiastic,
once you're tired, you know, you just leave them in the field.
By the time fall rolls around, you know, it's like, oh.
Right, who wants to do that?
Oh, man. Nina in Stevenson, Michigan has a comment or question. Hi, Nina.
Yes, how are you today?
Hi. Great, appreciate your call. What have you got for us?
I'm glad to catch you guys. Anyway, I have a comment about deer. They don't eat the plants or anything, but they sure can walk on your hills.
Uh-huh.
I've had a lot of little sprouted gourds walked on and lost because, they, you know, when they step on them, they sink them in. So I use a sprinkle, very light sprinkle of straw. And my main thing to keep them from walking on the gourd sprouts is to put little rocks, sizable rocks around them that keeps the deer from walking there. I also have cats run up and down the rows, and by sprinkling beans or anything like that, if you sprinkle a light sprinkle of straw all the way down the row, they won't walk on your planted area.
They won't?
No.
Well, that's helpful information to know. I think if you have a small enough, I don't know if I could see my husband putting rocks around every sprout and 2 acres worth of gourds, but if you have a small enough garden, that might be helpful, yeah.
And you're in northern Michigan, right, Nina?
In the Upper Peninsula, yes.
So you probably have a whole lot of deer.
You got a lot of deer.
Yes, ma'am, I sure do.
Yeah. See, if we see five, that's a lot. So
yes. You might.
I've been a member for 49 years. I've been a member of the American Gourd Society.
Good for you.
What gourds do you grow?
Mostly the ornamental and some of the small little.
Yeah, you're so far north, you probably, you have a short season.
Zone 4.
Uh-huh. Do you do art?
I love it up here. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
All right.
But anyway, I did want to say that I have seen the Gourd magazine grow from a little half-sheet, six-page newsletter to this beautiful, big, full-page magazine, full colors. Anybody that's interested in gourds is certainly joined to get that magazine.
Yeah, it is. It's a very nice magazine now. Yes. Yeah.
I do work mostly with rare gourds, and the pitiful offering the seed companies have now for the ornamentals and the other gourds is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see people go back to the original, pure ornamental gourds are lost unless there's other people trying to save them also.
Right. Well, there is one place that I would suggest if you're looking for pure seed, and there's a this person has a really a wide variety of both hard shell and ornamental gourds, and that's Anna Miller at Quarry Farm Gourds out of Ohio. And she does, everything is pure, well, not everything, almost everything is pure seeds. So she does hand pollinating, and on any of the gourd seeds that are not pure, she advertises them as such. So if there's a batch that she hasn't been able to hand pollinate.
You don't have the number. I can probably get it from the Gourd Society.
I'm sure that she has an ad in the Gourd Society magazine.
Okay, then I'll search there.
Yeah.
Yeah, her name is Anna Miller. And,
it's Quarry, Q-U-A-R-R-Y, Quarry Farm Gourds.
Okay, thank you. And Jim Story, was a wonderful fellow. Yeah. I knew him. And many of the older people that are unfortunately passed now.
Right. Well, Anna at Quarry Farms took over from Harry Hurley. So you might know Harry Hurley's name because he was around from the very beginning of the Gourd Society. So, yeah, and he was a big seed provider way back when. And he was one of the first people to start hand pollinating and providing pure seeds. So, yeah.
Okay. What was Anna's last name?
Miller.
Miller. Okay. Yeah. Yes, I've seen that ad. Thank you very much.
Okay,
all
Nina.
Right. Thanks a lot, Nina, for calling. Appreciate your call. So seeds from Anna. Where else? Patty from Menominee wondered about getting seeds for growing gourds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my recommendation is always to try and buy seeds that come from our general growing
area,
right? So to me, Ohio is close enough. I mean, they have a similar sort of season. And for us, it's very important to make sure that we have pure seed. So that's not to say that we don't buy from some of the garden centers, too. Depending, we'll get our big order from Anna. And then maybe, you know, when we're at Jung's or wherever, you know, if we see that they have banana gourds or apples, we might pick some up from one of those places. But, you know, when you it depends. I mean, if you're buying from a big seed place, you really don't know where they're grown. And so it's hard to know if they're going to be conducive to this area.
But like most seeds, they're not all that expensive, to be perfectly honest, are they?
Not if you buy at if you buy from Quarry Farm, that because they're hand pollinated, they're more expensive.
Well, sure,
it's not going to rob the bank, but
But you get what you pay for too.
There you go.
Terry Schmidt, our guest today, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. She's our self-described gourd girl. We love to have her here for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. We are talking gourds today with the gourd gal, Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society and the Gourd Society's 10th annual festival scheduled for April 9th. It's a week from Saturday at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. It's always a fun time. So we'll talk some more about that with her. We'll also answer your questions or comments and hope you'll have some experiences to share as well. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And some photos up on our Facebook page, which are wonderful. Well, especially, I mean, the wonderful one is the photo of...
of you, of course.
No, not the one of... Well, there's one of me holding the dipper gourd you gave me. So that's going to be a birdhouse by the end of the weekend. I'm going to make that with my daughter, Emily. And then below that photo is the really cool photo, which is a musical it's a gourd, a gourd gal.
It's a little girl playing a piano, and everything on there is made out of gourds. Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah, her shoes are gourds. I remember when we judged this last year, and as I was looking at the pieces, I thought, oh, well, this can't be a gourd, that can't be a gourd. But the closer I looked, everything, even the piano, is a gourd.
And the hair?
The hair, no. The hair is made out of, palm inflorescence. That's the blossom stuff that comes off of a palm tree. You know, okay. We use it a lot in weaving with gourds.
But every part.
Everything else is made out of gourds, yeah.
It's really unbelievable. Yeah. As you're listening in, go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. And take a look at that photo. And then while you're there, over on the left side of the page is visitor posts. And there's a couple of things over there. The court jester, which is also unbelievable, all made out of gourds. And then Gail sent us a photo of a chair that she decorated for the Lemon Street Gallery auction in Kenosha a few years ago. Those are gourd finials?
Gourd vines. It's she drew the gourd vines on, but then the tips of the chair there, the chair back, those are look like egg gourds. Yeah.
It's just really, really pretty. So some things up on our Facebook page, and that court jester is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
Very, very sweet. Well, we have some more Facebook comments and questions. Essie on Facebook wants to know if you have any tips for germinating seeds. She's tried to germinate dippers and bushels and didn't have very much luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a couple things that you can do. You can soak the seed for up to 12 hours. Tests have shown that soaking any more than 12 hours isn't helpful. May not be harmful, but it's not helpful. So up to 12 hours. And then you can snip off the bottom, very, very bottom part of the seed, but you don't want to snip it too far. Or you can snip off the shoulders of the seed, anything that's going to help to break that seal, right? You have to be careful not to snip too far, though, because then you can damage the seed. On the other hand, you don't even have to snip. If you soak that gourd and then put it on a damp paper towel, covered with a damp paper towel, in a warm place, within 3 or 4 days, you should see the little roots start to come out of the bottom. And you have to be kind of keep an eye on it, because once that root comes out, if it grows into the paper towel, and it'll grow into the paper towel as fast as it can. You have to keep the towel wet, right? And then you can just pull it off of there and plant it.
Stick it in the ground,
yep.
Or stick it in a pot.
Or in a pot, right. So if you're just direct seeding, just direct planting your seed, the gourd guy usually will, on larger seeds like dippers or bushels, he will soak them overnight and then plant them in the morning. And I don't think he deals a whole lot with snipping them off, but sometimes he might, yeah.
We had another listener who wonders how long a gourd lasts after it's carved and decorated. Are there special ways to store them?
Yeah, so the answer to that is, as my husband would say, you have to have grandchildren because they will last forever. Once it's been, I mean, assuming that it doesn't break, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. if you drop it or something. But once it's been carved, it's been dried, it's been painted, whatever you do to it, it will last like that forever. That I don't know how long the paint will last or how long the color will last, because that's the product itself. But the gourd itself will last for a very, very, I mean,
isn't that amazing?
Forever. Yeah. Once it's dried, it's like a piece of wood. And so if you don't have it in a place where it can rot, you know, if it's not wet all the time or whatever, it'll just last.
Patty from Menominee, I'm not sure you did kind of cover this, but she wonders where, how you soak the gourds while cleaning them.
Okay, so he puts the gourds in water, for a day, about a day, or mm-hmm. at least overnight. So he might, you know, start soaking them at 3 p.m, and then he might go out the next morning or midday and start cleaning them, so... You know, eight, ten hours.
Yeah.
So this would be hard shell gourds. If you're doing ornamental gourds like little spoons or eggs, you can't do that because they will just become soft. So those you don't have to soak. You know, you might soak them for an hour, but that would be max.
And what do you use to scrape them then? Or
he uses a chore boy, which mm-hmm. is like a metal pot scrubber.
Yeah.
You don't want to, like, you know, put too much elbow grease in it because you don't want to scratch the gourd. But if you've soaked it, then the skin should pretty readily come off. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit of bleach in the water to prevent any mold from coming back.
And there was another question up here. And, well, maybe before we get to that, I want to make sure we get to garden our gourd art enthusiasts. Can you talk about gourd art enthusiasts?
Yes. The gourd art enthusiast group. This is a great group for anybody who does gourds anywhere. It's an online group. It was started by Bonnie Gibson in Arizona, who was also the founder of the Arizona Gourd Society. We both started up right about the same time.
Oh.
And so this is an online group. The cool thing about it, it's members only, so you have to join in order to really peruse the whole thing. But there's no cost. It's free. It's just that's a way of keeping too much spammy stuff out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can upload photos, share your photos with other people. There are all kinds of forums. There's forums on tips and techniques. There's forums on embellishments and products, paints and dyes, finishes. All the shows that are happening around the United States, how to do gourd photography, how to really do good pictures of your gourds. If you need to enter a photo maybe in order to get into a judged festival or something like that. Tools and safety tips, announcements, teaching opportunities, tutorials, gourd growing and related questions. And then if you're the kind of person who likes to write articles, and I do, you can submit your articles. And, I mean, there's no judging to it. You just submit it under the right category. So, for instance, several years ago, I did some testing on fuming. And fuming is the process of using something like ammonia to create color. And the gas from ammonia will cause wood to darken. And it also is used sometimes in pine needles to color pine needles without using, you know, dyes. And you can actually fume gourds. So you have to put them in a space that's enclosed where there is the fume of, ammonia, and it'll darken your gourd. So I wrote an article on it. But you can find all kinds of articles on this.
Well, that's cool.
There are probably, I'm going to say, maybe 1,500 gourd artists that participate in this website. If you have a question about gourds, it would be impossible not to get it answered on that site.
Oh, and again, let's go.
It's called Gourd Art Enthusiasts, and the site is gourdartenthusiasts.ning.com.
N-I-N-G.
N-I-N-G is kind of like a Yahoo kind of thing.
Ah,
right?
Got
it. So that's
it.
The server that sponsors it.
And Brian Chesso is already, I saw that little glint in her eye through the glass here. She's already got that up. We'll have that right up on our Facebook page. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool site. For beginners that have questions, for people that are experienced or experiment and want to try something, or if you're making a project and you're stuck, just you name it. There's nothing that you can't get answered there. It's a great site.
Oh, Jim emailed us to say he grew some gourds a couple of years ago and planned on producing artwork. However, he hasn't done anything with them yet. He's attempted to remove what appears to be mold spots using soap and brushing. Is there a good way to remove these spots? Are they aging spots, kind of like you get on, like I get on my hand?
The liver spot, the thing that you find on the back of your hand. Yes, try scraping that off. It's the same thing. It's a spot that comes with the gourd. So if you've already cleaned the gourd and the skin is off of the gourd and you know it's not the skin on the gourd, then that's just a part of the gourd. And sometimes that darkness happens when the skin stays on it through the whole drying process and a little bit of mold gets between the actual gourd and the skin, and then it darkens it. Sometimes that darkness will go all the way through the pulp to the inside of the gourd. There's no way of getting that off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, you could use a now again, I'm looking at this jester that's all painted and looks so wonderful. You can paint
that. Right, right. But some people would rather have their art
have the
more
natural
look, right? And I mean, think of that spot as part of the natural look. You know, some of us leave our warts on and some of us have them removed.
Or maybe highlight them in some fashion as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let's go back to the, excuse me, the Gourd Festival. 10th Annual Gourd Festival, April 9th at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. It's in Madison on Atwood Avenue. If you haven't been there, it's worth the trip just to come see the Olbrich Gardens. Mm-hmm. But this is a one-day family-friendly festival. And let's, again, to go through what we've all that we've got there.
Okay, so I think Olbrich actually opens at 8, but the festival starts at 9. Mm-hmm. So the festival will go from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. As you walk in the door, you will see the membership table. You can get questions answered at the membership table about what there is to see if you're not sure. If you turn towards the right, you'll go into the atrium. The atrium is where the kids' corner is. And it's also where the competition is. And so half of that room is all kids and the other half is just some incredible art. Mm. Upstairs is where the classes are. And there will be a some signage someplace about what classes are happening where. At the membership table also, we will have raffle tickets. And so the artists and then other... other businesses donate things for us to raffle off. So every year we're blessed by a business called the Caning Shop in Berkeley, who I know. And Jim, the owner, always donates a gourd saw kit, which is a very nice value. And so it's usually the coveted raffle item. And then actually Anna from Quarry Farm Gourds, she donates seeds. And so some of the larger organizations that are gourd affiliated will donate things. And so we have a really nice raffle. We also have a silent auction, and that is usually artwork that's been donated by the vendors. All the vendors have to donate something. So it's artwork or gourds donated by the vendors. And then if you go into the commons room, that's all the vendors. So there's artwork, there's gourd art products like weaving materials and dyes and wire and beads and feathers and you name it. There's all kinds of stuff there that you can use on gourds. Also in the main lobby there, in the back corner is where our music plays. And so this year, I'm really excited about the music this year. So we have two, one group that was there last year, which is the Mad City Trio, jazz trio. And then we have the Lakeview Ramblers, which is sort of like old time and Irish music, sort of.
Yeah.
And then the first group of the day, starting about 9:15, is a group of kids from Mount Horeb called the Porch Music Kids. And I teach private music lessons, and so these are all my students. Not all of my students. It's a subset of my students. But these kids are just fantastic. So most of these kids are freshmen, sophomores, but there's one that's a seventh grader. So the kids that are in high school are actually making money for their band trip to go to London next year.
Oh.
So they've been working all these gigs, and they're actually quite good. And they play old-time Irish and some original things, and they're really, really good. So it's good, you know, it's good music for the day, and there's benches there where you can sit and relax and, you know, listen to the music, and so that's...
And you mentioned that, you kind of mentioned the kids, but earlier you went into a little more detail, so that they get to make things?
Yep, the kids' table, they will take, they get to plant a seed, so they'll take that home. They get to, they can make as many projects as they want, really. So there's little pendants or pins or I think even bracelets they can make. And this year, the new thing is the finger puppets. And then we have people doing face painting. And it's a great place for the kids. And then there's a whole alphabet around the kids' area. And each letter stands for something gourd related, like A is for apple gourd and B is for banana gourd. And so that. And then there's pictures of those individual things. So it's a very good learning experience for them too. And then coloring, there's gourd coloring books and... Yeah, tons of gourd, you name it, gourd fun for the kids.
Oh,
yeah.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. And you mentioned that you're teaching music, and you have a whole variety of things going on in your life with that revolve in some ways around gourds.
There's always something, yes. So I do still teach gourd art. I do that less now. for one reason, because I'm more involved in teaching music now than I was before, but also because I personally have allergies and developed a pretty good allergy to the gourds. So I can't carve like I used to carve anymore. So I stay away from that kind of stuff, but I still do the whimsies and the coiling kinds of classes, that kind of stuff I still do. And sometimes we'll have classes on the farm that I'm not teaching. Somebody else will come and teach classes on the farm. We try to have classes throughout the year through the Gourd Society. Somebody either on the farm or someone else associated, someone in our board might offer classes at their house. So we try to have stuff going on. What else? Oh, and then because of the competition, we have to have judges, and the judges are all sanctioned by the American Gourd Society. We have a regular judging panel, and so I'm considered like one of the teaching judges. So, in fact, this weekend I'm training judges who will then judge next weekend.
Wow. So there's a lot you're doing in the gourd area.
Always. There's always a lot. And then, of course, the farmer's market starts in 2 weeks, and so the gourd guy will be up there.
Yeah, and so he's selling gourds gourds galore, right?
He does sell gourds galore, and he sells vegetables galore. So we're just getting ready to put in our potatoes and our onions, and we'll get rolling on everything really quickly. So.
If somebody wanted to say, okay, I want to try gourds just to grow some gourds, what would be the first one that you would suggest for somebody just starting
in this area? Yeah, I would say the easiest gourd to grow is an apple.
Apple gourd.
Apple gourds just seem to like this area. They grow well. So if you want a hard shell gourd, and plus they're kind of...
What does it look like?
It looks like an apple.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like an apple, but maybe twice the size or bigger. So it looks just like an, it's shaped just like an apple. So, when they're growing, they're usually dark green with kind of a light yellow mottling or maybe striations. And they grow very easily. The other thing is if you want something small, any of the egg gourds or spoons or Tennessee spinners, any of the small gourds, they're beautiful. You can trellis them. You can use a small area. You can even put them in like a oak barrel and just put a little trellis in there and let them climb up, and they're gorgeous.
Oh.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
So that's not so hard.
No, it's pretty easy, you know. I mean, if you're doing it on a large scale, you got to make sure that you keep everything weed free. If you're doing it in a bucket, then it's not so hard to do that.
What's your favorite garden?
Oy vey. I'm going to say probably, I'm going to be very cliche and say probably either a Martin because I can make drums with them, or a snake because I can make rain sticks.
Do you ever anymore, I think you used to do this, travel, go to someone else's place and say put on a let's make drum?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we do every year in August, and we will do it again this year up in Chippewa Falls. We have a friend who has a house on Lake Wissota, and so we'll do a weekend. Usually it's just a one day open to the public, and then the second day is just the girls hanging out. But so we'll have maybe two or three classes going on, and then we also have product. So we'll have beads and wire and feathers and all that stuff for sale there. It's really nice to be able to do that in different parts of the state, because our state is just, it's not that gigantic, but we're so spread out, you know.
Yeah, I know what
you
mean.
So, I mean, if you're not in Madison, you're really not in gourds, because Milwaukee doesn't have any representatives at all. There's no,
that's not
no,
right.
There's no representation. Every time we get one or two people from Milwaukee, it just doesn't stick. And it's just a different demographic. And, mm-hmm. you know, gourd art is where it's at for gourds. Yeah.
There's some beautiful...
We're sort of the Berkeley of gourds here.
Well, I tell you what, this has been a marvelous 90 minutes. Thank you so much for coming by. I always love to sit and visit with you, Terry. It's great.
Thanks. Yeah, so a week from Saturday.
A week
Old
from
Brick
Saturday.
Gardens, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Gourd Festival. Be there.
A gourd win a courtin'. That's the title. I love it. Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, our gourd gal.
She comes by to talk with us about that festival every year, and I always look forward to it. And look forward to having you listening in and learning about it as well. And speaking of learning, next week on Garden Talk, we're going to learn about square foot gardening. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And on Monday at this time, we're going to get your personal computer questions answered at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.